In 2010, civil rights lawyer and legal scholar Michelle Alexander published The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Color Blindness. In the book, she argues that the war on drugs, declared in the 1970s, replaced the war on poverty and created a legal way to discriminate against African Americans after the end of both slavery and legal racial discrimination in the South, known as Jim Crow. Alexander maintains that this was carried out by targeting African American communities in the search for drug dealers and drug users, even though the numbers of blacks and whites who use and sell drugs are almost equivalent. She presents evidence on how African Americans are disproportionately arrested, convicted, and imprisoned on drug charges, and how a felony conviction follows a person for the rest of his or her life, creating almost insurmountable barriers to securing employment, housing, education, and any semblance of a normal life. Alexander's book initiated a grassroots movement to better understand the consequences of the war on drugs, the plight of its victims, and to demand changes in the U.S. criminal justice system. The author recently spoke at Yale University's Divinity School on February 25th. What follows is an excerpt of her talk.
Many of us, myself included, virtually slept through a revolution, actually a counter-revolution, a counter-revolution that has blown back so much of the progress that Dr. King and Ella Baker and so many other racial justice advocates risked their lives and some even died for. This counter-revolution has occurred with barely a whimper of protest, even as millions of people, overwhelmingly poor folks of color, have been rounded up, locked in cages, and relegated to a second-class status once again. I think one day we may look back and wonder how we could have possibly slept for so long. Of course, I'm always eager to admit that my own awakening did not happen overnight. There was a time when I rejected comparisons between mass incarceration and slavery and mass incarceration and Jim Crow and thought that people who ran around making those kinds of claims and those kinds of comparisons were actually doing more harm than good to efforts to reform our criminal justice system and achieve greater racial inequality in the United States. But after years of representing victims of racial profiling and police brutality and investigating patterns of drug law enforcement in poor communities of color, and attempting to assist people who had been released from prison try to reenter and face one legal barrier after another, attempting to reenter into a society that had never shown much use for them in the first place, I had a series of experiences that began what I now call my awakening. I began to awaken to a racial reality that is just so obvious to me now that what stuns me in retrospect is that I had managed to be blind to it for so long. As I describe in the introduction, what has changed since the collapse of Jim Crow has less to do with the basic structure of our society than the language we use to justify it. In the era of color blindness, it is no longer socially permissible to use race explicitly as a justification for discrimination, exclusion, and social contempt. So we don't. Rather than rely on race, we use our criminal justice system to label people of color criminals and then engage in all the practices that we supposedly left behind. Today, it is perfectly legal to discriminate against criminals in nearly all the ways in which it was once legal to discriminate against African Americans. Once you're labeled a felon, the old forms of discrimination, employment discrimination, housing discrimination, denial of the right to vote, exclusion from jury service, are suddenly legal. As a criminal, you have scarcely more rights and arguably less respect than a black man living in Alabama at the height of Jim Crow. We have not ended racial caste in America, we have merely redesigned it. Now, I've given a lot of thought over the years to how we managed to be lulled to sleep and become so indifferent to the suffering of millions. And the reasons are numerous, but among the most important, I think, are the perceptions and the images of great racial progress, images that reinforce the sense that those who have been left behind, those who are stuck at the bottom, find themselves there for reasons that can be fairly described as their own fault. We hear a common narrative today, not only in mainstream media, but also in many churches, including black churches, If only black men would get it together and do right. Pull up their pants. Stay in school. Get a job. Do right by their kids. Be a man. Be a real father. Stay away from drugs. Just act right. Then, none of this would be happening. This whole system of mass incarceration aimed at black folks wouldn't even be a problem if they would just act right. There is a sense among many black folks that sadly, we've just brought all of this on ourselves. And this perception allows waves and waves of shame and punitiveness to wash over our communities, waves that meet little resistance. And paradoxically, the election of Barack Obama, far from reflecting the liberation, the true liberation of black people in the United States, actually rationalizes, in some respects, our collective indifference to those who are locked up and locked out. You flick on the television set, and there is President Barack Obama standing in the Rose Garden, looking handsome, dignified, and in charge. You flip the channel again, and there is Michelle Obama, digging a garden in the backyard of the White House, not as a slave or a servant or as a maid, but as the First Lady, you know, schooling our nation on good health and how to be good stewards of our planet. And then you flip the channel again, and there's the whole Obama family descending the stairs of Air Force One, cheered by America and around the world. So if a black man can be president of the United States today, what is wrong with you, brother? In handcuffs on your way to jail. If Obama can make it be president of the United States, why can't you? What is wrong with you?
That was Michelle Alexander, author of Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. This segment was recorded and produced by Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus. Find more perspectives on the U.S. war on drugs by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.